I want to talk to you a little bit about the one hope in the light of dispensational truth. And so I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And the whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, if I had a way of titling this chapter, it would be the chapter of resurrection. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 deals with. Hang on. All right, Jerry says they took a biopsy of an artery. She is at home but hurting, otherwise fine. Well, that's good. In 1 Corinthians 15, at least we know he's watching now. See, that's you trick him into texting you and you know. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're really talking about resurrection. And there's a big debate going on about the resurrection. And it is very, very important. I want to start in verse 1 and just kind of read. We may read the whole chapter, but I want to comment. Oh, Roxy Miller and the girls up in Minnesota, up at the Bible camp, joined us for the first time up there at camp. Good. But 1 Corinthians 15 deals with resurrection. Verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." And that's very important. There are a lot of people that believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and they're going to die and go to hell. Because they believe it in vain. And that's without a cause. They never saw themselves lost. They never saw themselves in need of a Savior. Never saw themselves. They just said, oh, yeah, you know, my daddy believed it. I believed it. It's kind of just in vain, you know, without any effect or anything like that. So in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." And I want to show you where he received this. Go to Acts chapter 9. A lot of people say, I don't use this reference a lot, but I will show you Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord," and this isn't, by the way, the Jewish faith he's hindering. These are the Jewish believers of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You understand? There's three groups of people back here, and this is kind of important. There's the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, these guys, the old Jewish faith. And then there's that new little flock that is growing. And it's growing from Acts chapter 2 through 7. And that's the church. Paul's a part of that group. He's persecuting this group when he gets converted in Acts chapter 9. You got it? The one he's out destroying isn't the old pharmaceutical reign or the Sadducees and that kind of thing. That's not what he's destroying. He's a member of that. He's part of that. He's destroying this. That's very important. 1 Corinthians 15. We're in Acts 9. Acts 9. Desiring of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way would be Acts 2 on. This way is that. You might want to put that in your Bible. Put a little underline right out there, Acts 2. Whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound under Jerusalem in front of who? The high priest, the Pharisees, and those kind of guys. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, and the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Well, I believe the conversion happened right there. Y'all understand? I believe Paul received the gospel of Christ right there. And when he submitted and said, verse 6, and he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do, and on and on. Now, I believe at that point, Paul's blind, you understand that.
Right.
And his scales fall off later, but at that point, he's in the conversion process. You understand?
Right.
He has seen the Lord, the one that he's persecuted, but he received a message. Well, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That gospel was unique even to the gospel that the 12 were preaching in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And when you realize that this gospel here is not the gospel that he received that had been what?
Kept
secret. This has a different hope. This gospel hope is the what?
Catching out.
It's the catching out. This will come over here and it's going to go into the priesthood in that new city, Jerusalem, that's going to land on the earth. This will fit, match that over there as soon as we leave. You got it? But the point of the resurrection is the resurrection works both for Israel and for us. But they're not called in the same hope as we are called into. They don't anticipate going. They're anticipating a tribulation period. They're anticipating having to die as martyrs. You know, for 13 books. 13 books. It's weird. 13 books Paul wrote to the Gentiles. Not one of them did he say you had to get martyred to live. In 13 books he wrote, he never prepared you to go through that period of time at all.
Actually, he's talking about saving around.
Well, I'm going to show you that. Huh? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these 13 books were not a preparatory entrance into the tribulation period. You are not going in. That isn't your call. That isn't your hope. God has got a rapture plan.
Amen.
A catching out.
Praise God.
And that catching out is unique. Go to verse 4. And he was buried and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures showed that?
Jonas 3 days.
Yeah, as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Matthew chapter 12. The prophecy is Jonah. It was written in the Scripture. And what's important is what's coming up. Is that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth to this day. Why was that important for Paul's argument?
Proof.
Yeah, it was proof that he was the Son of he was the Son of God. It was the proof of the gospel of God. You got it? I mean, God is proving, even though He's using Israel's stuff, He's proving to you that He is, in fact, the Son of the living God as promised by the resurrection. And that He wasn't just seen of me. I mean, if Paul went around and said he was only seen of me after His resurrection, what would you think? I'm like, man, I'm not sure I'm going to trust that. Exactly. I mean, you just couldn't trust that if only one person. But the 12th Psalm, the 500th Psalm, and then last of all, He was seen of Paul. And the point that I'm trying to make is that ought to be substantial evidence that something, in fact, resurrected from, that He did, in fact, resurrect from the dead. Y'all understand? So the resurrection is what it's talking about. And then He says in verse 8, "And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time." And you may want to put 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 in your Bible right there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. "For I am the least of apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." When did He do that? Acts chapter 8, 7, 8, and the first part of verse 9. That's where He did that. You need to write that in your Bible. Acts chapter 7, 8. I mean, He was there when Stephen was being stoned. He was making havoc of the church. Acts chapter 8. And Acts chapter 9, He's getting letters from the elders to go round them up of this way. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so yet, so ye believe." What did they preach? That He was, well, that Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and that He what? Now remember, what did these people teach? The DVR, and this is the DVR plus S, the S factor. You got it? Same message, except sins are gone. 1 Corinthians 15. What was the mystery? Yeah, the S factor. That was the mystery. The DVR, was that a mystery?
No,
it's part of prophecy. I mean, people say, well, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Great, are you saved? Well, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's not good enough. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, the S factor, and that S factor is the difference. I know a lot of people that believe in the DVR.
Satan believes in the DVR.
Satan does believe in the DVR.
Yeah, if he had known
the S factor,
he would not have crucified him.
You got it? If he knew that S factor was there, he'd have jumped up on that cross. He thought he was getting rid of it.
Did he believe in the resurrection when He put Him on the cross?
Well, probably not. I don't think
he... I think that was important. He didn't realize that He was going to come by.
Well, no, I agree with that. I mean, and the resurrection was the proof. Mm-hmm. But there again, it's a judicial act. And again, all of this has to do with one really focused point, and that is resurrection.
Right.
Listen, if you can't live after the grave, if there's no life after the grave, come on now, if there's no life after the grave, what is the point?
That's right. There'd be no point. There'd be no purpose.
Let's quit this and grab a bottle of Jack Daniels and have a ball. It doesn't really matter at that point. Without the resurrection, it's futile. It's empty. It's no problem. There's nothing to live for.
Yeah, because He wouldn't have been able to justify us if He hadn't come back.
Exactly. Watch this now. But the debate comes. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That would be a debate, wouldn't it?
Right.
But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, and here's the point, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Listen, if he didn't come up from the grave, if he didn't up from the grave, he arose. If he did not do that, everything we're doing here is stupid.
Right. Well, you wouldn't even have finished King James Bible,
would you? You got it? Be stupid. We're believing in vain. If he can't come out of the grave, I guarantee you, what power is Dale going to use to get out of the grave?
I always thought that that was just more of a sign of us to show us that he is real. You know, doing one of the miracles. I always thought that was more of a miracle than
Yeah, but see, it's a lot more than that, isn't it? See, it's like a stamp. And listen, and he goes on. Watch this. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified to God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now think about what he just said. We're a bunch of liars. Now, I never saw him. He never came in my bedroom like, what was it, Oral Roberts, and there was a 500-foot Jesus at the end of my bed. That wasn't anything like that. Or my aunt, who was riding a bike, and she was riding along the way, and she saw Jesus in the hills of her backpack, and Jesus gave her a love bath from the head to her toes. Now, I never did that. But, no, amen. So I'm not testifying of the resurrection. When I testify, I'm testifying of my faith in the faith of Christ.
Amen.
I'm saying that I believe he did it. And upon believing that, I had peace. Ron?
That's where Christ was telling them, said, you believe because you have seen, but bless those that
believe and see not. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a powerful statement.
That is a powerful statement. Because I never saw the resurrection. But there's enough proof here that I believe he resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
But there were some back then that didn't believe. They saw the death, they saw the burial, but they didn't even believe in the resurrection. You say, well, how can that be? Well, I want you to go to Luke for just a minute. And I use this quite a bit. You get a good verse, just hang on to it and preach it all you want. Go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke 24. Verse 12. Luke 24, verse 12. Now watch this. I mean, you say, well, how is that where they wouldn't believe? Well, look at the confusion the disciples were in. And this is after his resurrection. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they continued together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as ye have walked and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things that have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests of our rulers delivered him up and be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which it had redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain of the women, I mean, these people have no idea what's going on. A company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, and they found not his body, and they came saying, they have seen a vision of the angel, which said he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fool and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What prophet was he talking about? Jonas. They should have got it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And from beginning to Moses and on, he explains all that. Well, they didn't get it. They were even a little confused about the resurrection. They didn't know what was going on. Y'all understand? I mean, you say, well, how... Man, listen, it wasn't until afterwards they really got it.
Right.
They get it in just a little bit, a few verses down. I'm not going to read the whole passage. The idea is they understood that resurrection... Why? Resurrection is what you need.
Right.
If there is no resurrection, you are in deep poopy.
Ew.
Knee high.
Right.
I mean, you're in trouble. And so go back to 1 Corinthians 15 for a minute. So even, you know, some of the religious believers didn't quite get it.
That's right. Well, how long did this happen, Acts 2?
What? 1 Corinthians 15?
Right.
Approximately, probably 10 years. It was written, probably. Maybe 8 years. It wasn't the first Pauline epistle written. I would have to go back where 1 Corinthians was written. I'm not sure about that, but it's somewhere around that period of time, because he wrote probably the 1st and 2nd Thessalonian letter first.
Right.
There's an argument whether he may have written the Galatian letter first, but he wrote those three letters before he wrote 1 Corinthians, and he was about 3 years after the cross in his own thing, because he studied in Arabia for 3 years before he even started his ministry.
That's right.
My notes of past studies have said Corinthians were written around 55 AD in that area.
Well, probably, but they're going by when it was written, not necessarily the doctrine of it. And that's the problem, even with William's question, is that the doctrine was true back at the beginning of Paul's ministry. But, I mean, Paul is explaining the resurrection. Why? It is the foundation to all that we believe.
Correct.
It is your hope. If the Lord can't call us out of the grave, we're stuck.
That's right.
You can believe all you want. It comes down to this one crux. If it doesn't, yes, you're kidding. Did y'all hear William? There ain't no doubt you're going in. It's the coming out that's the doozy, guys. Y'all understand? Going in isn't hard. You know how many's done that before us?
Everybody.
It's the coming out that's a little tough.
Now, we could miss it. I mean, we could just be called up.
Yeah. No, that is true. And that's, with the time that I have, I doubt I'm going to get to that. But that's really what I wanted to preach on, is because of this chapter, our hope is solidified.
That's right.
If this is not true, then your hope is awash.
That's right. You have no hope.
You got it? If 1 Corinthians 15 is not true, or doesn't mean what it says, then you're in a wash. Look, if you will, in verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 15. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, and if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, ready? Your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. You got it? Now, there's a guy named Arthur Watkins on Facebook that is an idiot. That was being nice. I was being nice, actually. He said, see, I believe Jesus Christ died for sin once. You got it? But I believe we have now received the atonement, Romans chapter 5, and they are going to receive the atonement at the Day of Atonement over there. You got it? But when was the blood shed? At the cross. Was it for just these people? Even these people back here. Everybody. It was shed once. That's what Hebrew talks about. Sacrifice once. But it doesn't mean they get the atonement all at once. We've got the atonement. That's why we listen, the power of death has nothing on us anymore. That's very important.
I have a question.
Yes.
All those people that died before the cross.
Yes.
Well, what's going to happen to them?
Their sins were paid for at the cross.
Even though they were already dead.
Yes. They're going to be at the second coming. And Israel's going to be resurrected. And the term born again, those are the only people born again.
Ezekiel 37 is a good example.
Ezekiel 37 is a good example. And when he puts the two sticks together, he makes one nation. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to explain it to her, or you want me to explain it? Because you get paid the same thing I do. It really doesn't matter.
Let's just make sure it's correct. All of this is on the internet, on the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Yeah, there's a detailed study of the 70 weeks of Daniel on the internet. 20 hours, if you go through there, you'll have a good education. Right. I would highly recommend, if you haven't watched that, you need to watch it. It takes 20 hours, and it is well worth your watching. It'll kind of explain a lot of that. But, nevertheless, the fact is that I want you to see that if he didn't resurrect from the dead, the gospel of Christ, with the S factor, which is a mystery, doesn't even work. Why? You are yet in your sins. Why? Look at Romans chapter 4, and this is why. Romans chapter 4. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
When it says he was born again, that means that after the rapture?
Yeah, after the rapture, Israel will be born again. They will come up, read Ezekiel 37.
Right.
Ezekiel 37, the dead bones will gather up, and they will live again, and God will give them strength and on and on. Ezekiel 37.
Remember you talking about that before.
Yes.
I thought that as well.
Yes. Okay. We will never be born again. By the way, what are we?
We're new creatures.
We're quick. We will become quickening spirits, but we're new creatures. And by the way, the three hopes have something to do with that. You have three hopes. The center hope is us. We become quickening spirits. They will have soul salvation. We don't even win souls. Israel does. And then the Gentiles, which will be the flesh. There it is, right there. That's it. That's the triunion being of God right there, guys. No, make no mistake.
What is that now? Oh, soul.
Spirit.
No, second one. Soul.
Soul. That's what they're doing in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is they're winning souls. What are they doing in Hebrews through Revelation? Winning souls. We are quickening spirits. And let me tell you, that will work 100% in this King James Bible if you believe your word.
We're baptized into the body.
Yes. Yes, we are. Where was I telling you? Romans chapter 4?
Yes, sir.
Verse 25. Who, a reference to our Lord, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and was raised again for our what? That resurrection is our justification. You got it? He was raised again. If he didn't raise, guess what? You're still in your sins. And guess what? You ain't going to make it. Listen, do you realize that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission? I couldn't believe I had a guy who wrote a comment. People are idiots. I mean, I hate it. We're ignorant.
That's right.
They have to be taught. But some girl said, "Oh, it works. It's like, you know, you love your husband and you do the works." And I said, "No, no. You know, God has a plan of salvation, and it's based upon the blood of Christ." And I said, it's just like Cain and Abel. Cain did 30 times more labor and works than Abel did. Abel literally just brought the lamb that God required. And one of the preachers of the Mennonite church up there said this: the reason that Cain's offering wasn't accepted was because of his attitude. Well, that's baloney, because the whole expression is you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip covers that. You understand? It's impossible. But the proof text, and I didn't give them this, I gave them a couple other verses that proved it, but this one is the proof text to the whole issue. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Aren't you glad we turned the pages of this old King James Bible?
I'm going to have to buy another
one. I know. How do you think I've got a ploy going? I'm wearing them out so you'll have to buy them, and eventually I'll have the only King James Bibles in town.
Getting hard to find.
They are getting harder to find, that is for sure. I'd pick me up a couple extra and keep them around if I was you. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Well, Israel had a hope. What did they have? They had a temple that they could go in and offer a blood sacrifice year in and year out and cover those sins. You know what the Gentiles didn't have? They didn't have a temple. And after AD 70, Titus and the Roman army came in and destroyed the temple. Guess what happened? Nobody had hope. So what was the hope? Well, folks, I got to tell you, you're the hope of the world today. If any Jew's going to get saved, it's because of you. That's what Acts chapter 28 is all about. Y'all understand that? Go to Acts 28 for a minute. You got to see this. Huh? Exactly. We are kind of like that temple now, aren't we? Acts 28, verse 20. See, the hope, you got to have the shed blood, but if Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected, you would not be justified. The hope is resurrection. Verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called you. Who did he call? The elders of the Jews. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. You see that? That's who we're talking about.
Valid.
Called you. Who's the you? The chief of the Jews together. Of verse 17. You got that? You need to write that in there. Verse 17, you won't remember it. To see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Well, why was he bound with chains? He said he was going to go to the likes of you in this room. So guess who the hope of Israel is now? Us. We've got the message of grace. If anybody's going to get saved, it's going to be because we opened our mouth and gave them the gospel. That's how it's going to work. See, I mean, Wednesday night, guys, is not for the faint of heart. This is the stuff that we seriously study. You want to grow? This is the place to be on Wednesday night. Sunday, somewhat baby food. Wednesday, a lot deeper. You know what? And if you ain't got your thinking cap on, bring it next time. You'll want it. You know, this stuff gets a little bit tedious here. But do you all understand? It won't help your hair.
I know, but I'm losing my thinking cap because my ears, my ear hole, and I was just checking.
You're checking to make sure it wasn't exploding or anything.
That's right.
You know, the hair was parting, you were thinking the brain might part too and split out.
That's right, and I needed my thinking cap. I'm afraid it's oozing now.
You know,
Norm, you may want to move to the next seat.
Old men don't really lose their hair, just slides down their back.
Yeah.
They get real old and sit on the toilet without being told.
That and their eyebrows.
My ears instead.
Yeah, exactly. Just let your eyebrows grow long and throw it over. Do you all understand who the hope of Israel is? You're the hope of Israel. You. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Ron, you look like you had a question. I preached the ABCs up in Baton Rouge. And I'm telling you, the whole place freaked out. It was funny, wasn't it? I can't wait to pull the S factor and the G factor on them. They haven't heard that either.
I've never heard that before.
That was funny. I'm like, you guys have had to heard this before. Where did I tell you? 1 Corinthians 15. It was funny. They all thought it was like some new big revelation. And I'm like,
it was. You came up with it. Did you?
What's funny is a lot of people used your example stuff.
Did they?
I don't use it.
After I got done, huh? Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Oh, well. I wish I could have stayed.
Just tell them to send the royalties for using your.
Yeah. Oh, hey. I was just trying to find a way of explaining it simple.
I heard somebody else use that.
Did they? Yeah. They already started stealing them. You know where it originally came, though.
I heard you say it. I always generally thought that that was something you used. And then I think I heard that on.
You can't trust them. If they're stealing it already, I'm in trouble. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I thought it was funny because it was really nothing new. Jerry Jones knew it was the same old stuff I'd been preaching. You know?
Byron Sykes?
Huh?
Byron Sykes?
Byron Wiggins?
No,
Brian Sykes.
Brian Sykes.
He said it goes go to the conferences to get new material.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So, see, the problem is I only go to the conferences. Very few of you guys show up, and then when I bring new stuff home, you think it's original.
Probably I'm the only one that does that.
Yeah. Trust me, not true. Now watch this. Verse 17 again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ.
Hi, my name is Jeff Anderson, and I'd like to take this time to welcome you to GraceBibleLive.org. We are dedicated to bringing you the Word.
They have no hope. Done. You know, everybody here, listen to me, and everybody watching on the internet, listen to me very carefully. You are going to the grave.
That's right.
Everybody has not missed that. But coming out is the whole different plan.
We may not have to go.
Thank you, brother. Y'all understand? You got it? I mean, listen, let me tell you what. It really comes down to that one thought. And he said, watch this. In verse 19, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, that's pitiful. I mean, honestly, anybody having fun? I get these beautiful tomato plants, walked out there today, they're burned up. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're terrible. And I'm like, no. And if all I had was this hope, I would almost not necessarily commit suicide over my tomato plants. You know. But you know what I mean. I mean, I was pretty bummed out, I gotta tell you. Walk out and your beautiful tomato plants look like Miss Holloway. Dried up a little bit. I'm like, what? Call William. You know, my wife said, you call him. I don't know what to say to him. So I get William at the church tonight and I said, William. He said, no worry, we have backups. Thank God. Because, you know, I'm like the curse. I mean, this is how it was. I got here 23 years ago. And everybody was trying to be so nice to me. And it's not like now. You know, back then they'd invite me out hunting. And so Doyle Akers invited me out to this great hunting club and went out with a thing. And every time I'd go, the whole club wouldn't get anything. So eventually they said, preacher, why don't you just stay home? And they'd plaster the woods and bring out 30 deer, you know, and it was bad, you know. And so one guy really felt bad for me. His name was Russell. Shot a doe, and he said, look, preacher, if you'll just stay home, we'll bring you some deer meat. And I said, okay. Well, he brought me the whole deer, you know. I mean, poor guy felt so bad for me. I mean, I'd go out squirrel hunting, and you know how many squirrels there are in Alabama. There's so many squirrels, you could shoot 50 or 60 of them and really make a nice mess of food, you know. I'd go out, and they all hide. That's how my life has been. And so, you know, I thought, well, I'll quit the animal life and go to plant life and try tomatoes. And I've tried for 20 years to grow tomatoes. And no matter what I do, I didn't even touch these. He told me not to touch them because I have this curse or something. My tomato plants look scrawny. So, you know, if this is all we have, we as men are what? But you know what? I got a greater hope than all this.
Amen.
That hope is resurrection. I believe when they place me into the ground that God is going to give me a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with that vocal call that I'll come out of that grave.
That's right.
Me too.
I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with everything in me. Now, he goes and keep working the argument, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. And since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. Why did Jesus Christ have to be in a human body?
So he could die.
So he could die. He couldn't do it as the deity. He couldn't do it as a God. He had to do it as a man in order to make the redemption exactly perfect. Yes, Gene.
He needed some blood.
Yes, he did. Did you hear, Gene? They needed blood. Because why? Without the shedding of blood there. I mean, can you imagine a preacher of any church believing that Cain did it, got rebuked because of his attitude? I can't even imagine that. I about fell out of my chair. Jessica Miller out in Colorado wrote on her Facebook, said, "Man, you answered that perfect." Well, I mean, it wasn't even hard. I mean, it wasn't a difficult answer. I knew what God required. And by the way, just as a pop quiz, how did you know that blood was required? Naomi may have an answer on the internet.
Because
no, come on. What's the proof text?
The blood sacrifice that was put on the door so the...
No, come on. What's the proof text?
Hebrews 9.
You just said it before you preached on it.
Hebrews 11.
Yeah,
go to Hebrews 11. Let me show you how I know. No, we just, well, that was Hebrews 9:22. But that's not how I know that God told them to offer a blood sacrifice. He said, show me one place that God told them to offer a blood sacrifice. Well, let me show you. Here's the proof text to the blood. By faith, Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Hang on. By how?
Faith.
How did faith come?
By hearing.
Then God had to tell them, didn't he?
By the word of God.
God told them to bring a blood sacrifice. Otherwise, it couldn't be by faith.
That's right.
It'd be by attitude or choice or whatever.
Right.
But when God, when it says by faith he believed or by faith he offered, I know that God told him to offer that. Y'all understand? Carlton, you got me? No, I mean in the video. I'm just checking.
You're behind the pulpit.
What were you going to say? Did you get that?
Yeah, I guess I heard it a little bit different, that Adam and Eve taught their sons that. Is that?
Yeah, but that can't be the case.
Yeah.
Because how does faith come? By hearing your mom and dad?
No,
God told Abel and Cain themselves what to bring. He also told Adam and Eve. Y'all understand? Why was Moses... Moses. That's so funny. I'm so stupid. Why did God find Noah acceptable? Yeah, he offered the blood sacrifice that was still required. Everybody else had quit. It's all about the blood. I mean, you know, it's almost... But do you all understand the proof text of Hebrews chapter 11?
Faith.
You know? It's by faith. Therefore, God had to say it. Now, did their mom and daddy repeat it? I'm okay with that. But who said it in requirement? God. And why was he wroth with Cain? God told him and he didn't listen. You ever have a kid like that? You say, go do something and he didn't listen? How was your countenance? Were you wroth against him? Yeah.
God gave him all opportunities
to come up with it right.
If
he'd admitted, I did it wrong, God would have given him a chance, I believe. So, it's by faith. I mean, the whole thing had to do with blood. Go back to the resurrection. Because I don't want to lose track of what we're doing and we're running out of time. Why is it that the clock like speeds up at the end? I could sit and study this Bible all night. How many would stay until another hour? I think we ought to do that. We ain't got anything better to do. We can go to work. Oh, you might fall asleep. Yeah, thank God, and he's not on the third rafter.
The first floor, I just fall in the floor.
Well, let me just finish up with 22. 1 Corinthians 15:22. And he sets up verse 22 with 21. For since by man came death, and it didn't come by the devil, did it?
No.
By one man, sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You need to put that in there, right there. Verse 21. By man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all what?
Die.
Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, I'm going to stop there tonight. But I really, you know, I want you to understand that same exact power of the resurrection that was in Christ when God raised him from the dead is the exact power, listen to me, that's in you to get you out of the grave. It is Christ. But the energy level that he uses is explained really well in Ephesians and Colossians. It's the power. Listen, let me tell you, the same exact power that was in Christ in the resurrection is the exact same power that is going to get you out of the grave.
That's right.
Man, I'm telling you, that all I can tell you is that's some pretty good stuff. So if you start to understand your position in Christ, Israel is not in Christ. Israel is a priesthood. They have to be born again from the dead. But hey, you don't have to be. You're like Jesus Christ. You're going to be laid in the grave, but out from the grave you come. You know why? You got the exact same power.
Quickening
spirit.
That will raise you up that raised him up. The exact same. That ought to make you relax a little bit. Right? You say, well, Wayne's bigger than us. Will it take more? No. No. It's the exact same. And I'm telling you, that's when you start to understand the catching out and the power of what God set up for you, you would never want to go back being Israel and their hope. You just won't want to do that. All right.